Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The team has had the worst offseason in the NFL so far. I don't even know if it's a close second, Perloff. It's got to be the Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, the news just keeps getting worse and worse for them. It starts off with their star wide receiver they traded for and paid, Davante Adams, does an interview and a big profile written about him where he says he's not on the same page with the front office and the coaching staff. Okay, even if that's, you can understand.
You can understand that. They cut his best friend.
Cut his best friend. Might be in your feelings about that. Okay, I guess I can understand it. But then later comes out and basically says, I've been misquoted. It's like, well, were you misquoted on the quote where you said, I proved that I didn't need Aaron Rodgers to be a great wide receiver? Because I'm pretty sure you wanted us to take that one to the bank.
Yeah. You know, he's a wide receiver. You take everything a wide receiver says with a grain of salt. They're the biggest diva of me first guys in the league. And unfortunately, I don't think he's any different. That alone, that's not good. You're right. But that's not going to sink an offseason.
No, it's not going to sink an offseason, especially when the head coach, Josh McDaniels, comes out yesterday and says he's entitled to his opinion because he's earned it. Okay. Well, then we find out that Jimmy Garoppolo had surgery on his foot in March. Now, you'll remember when Garoppolo got hurt for the 49ers last year, it was like December. It was a game against the Dolphins. And at first they came out and said, it's like a Lisfranc and he needs surgery and he's done for the year. Okay. Then a couple days later, the 49ers trainer comes out and says, wait a minute. We think that he doesn't need surgery now, and it's possible he could be back for the playoffs, according to Adam Schefter. And everyone got excited. And so as it turns out, season ends. As we know, they lose to your Philadelphia Eagles. They have no quarterbacks left. Garoppolo's in street clothes on the sideline as Purdy goes down and Josh Johnson goes down, and it was a nightmare. And now he goes to the Raiders. And if you'll remember, there was a hiccup. There was one day where Garoppolo goes to the facility and leaves and never signed the contract. Then goes back the next day and they get it ironed out. Turns out that's when they were discussing this foot injury that at first needed surgery, then didn't need surgery, and now needs surgery. They're saying he's going to be ready for training camp. But, I mean, you got an over 30 quarterback who's now having foot surgery. He's got plenty of injury history to begin with. This is the last thing that the Raiders wanted.
Yeah, I mean, that being said, they should have known, right? Because it's Jimmy Garoppolo. I can understand the differing diagnosis of the foot, because we had my buddy Dr. Rock Positano on last night, and he always tells me teams do too much surgery on feet. Because he said once you operate on a foot, you have the chance of just, you're probably not going to have a productive career after that. And right. He can list 1,000 examples. So I could see avoiding that. But it doesn't matter because Jimmy G always gets hurt, so the Raiders had to know this. That's why I think a lot of people are wondering, was it worth getting rid of Derek Carr to bring in Jimmy G? And I have to admit, at first, I think Jimmy G may be a slight more of a winner. Now I wonder, you know, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. Yeah. There's no way Jimmy G is staying healthy.
And, like, should have just stayed with Carr, right?
Probably. Although I could see the argument for going in a completely different direction. And maybe this is part of a two-year plan where they're tanking and going for Cowboys.
But honestly, I think you could have probably done that. Like, maybe not the tanking with Carr, because Carr is pretty durable.
Yeah, he's probably too good for that.
But, like, was, you know, now it is time to reexamine this. Like, was Garoppolo so much of an upgrade over Carr that it was worth upending this whole thing? Like, did Garoppolo turn you into a Super Bowl team?
There is a little bit of a mystique around Jimmy Garoppolo that he wins at a high. I mean, listen, he got the Niners to a Super Bowl and got them really close. got them really close again. Yeah, I know. It doesn't really, your eyeballs don't see it, but there is something about Jimmy G. He could have been an upgrade. Yeah, he could have been an upgrade. Carr wasn't great last year. So,
see, I wonder if this was more of a personality conflict also between McDaniels and Carr. Yeah, were they clearly not on the same page?
Yeah, Jimmy G's a McDaniels guy through and through.
Of course. So they're all like disciples. So now, depending on what happens to Jimmy, you've got a team in Las Vegas that, let's be honest, in the AFC, everything was going to have to pretty much go right for them to make the playoffs anyway, right?
Right.
So now you come in with this uncertainty at quarterback where your backup is Brian Hoyer and the other quarterback is Aiden O'Connell from Purdue, who you drafted.
Yeah. Do you know what the problem is, though?
Stayed with Stidham.
You got stars all over that field, though. That's a little confusing. So, by the way, they did get, we learned today, their first pick was Tyree Wilson out of Texas Tech. Their second pick was Michael Mayer out of Notre Dame, who the Jets had ranked as the 15th player on the board.
I know. So maybe new audio came out from the Jets war room. They thought the Mayer was going like 10th.
Yeah, so maybe GM Dave Ziegler did a nice job. But they have Josh Jacobs is arguably the best running back in the league at running back. Then you got Devontae Adams, who's, I would say, probably the best wide receiver. And then you got stars on defense. You got Max Crosby's unbelievable. Chandler Jones, borderline Hall of Famer. So you got a lot
Who's getting them the football on the offensive side? You know?
I know. I mean, well, first of all, I'd hand it. Josh Jacobs is going to run all the time. They couldn't do a long-term deal. You're right. No, I don't know about Adams. But Adams had wasn't that consistent last year, and he still had tons of yards.
See, that's the other thing, too, though. You mentioned Josh Jacobs. He's on the franchise tag, but they have not gotten a long-term deal worked out.
Which is smart. He's a running back.
Yeah, but does that mean he's not going to show up for training camp? I mean, when you don't get the deal worked out, everything that comes along with it, that's just another headache.
Yeah, but running backs have no bargaining power right now, so who knows about that?
Yeah, listen, the Giants are dealing with Saquon Barkley. It happens.
You know, also, we're not even mentioning that they gave away Darren Waller, who was their best receiver
Giants,
2 years ago, and that there's a lot of rumors that they're on different pages in Hunter Renfro, and they're going to either cut or trade Renfro, who's a great player. So there's a lot more disruption coming here, too. Yeah, so I think we're both on the same page here that, yes, give it a shot. Maybe Jimmy G will come back, take a puncher's chance. But if you're 3 or 4 games in, then you don't win these early games, which are hard games.
Yeah.
Maybe start thinking about that tank. I'm sorry. Tanking, I know it's not popular, but obviously I love the process in Philly.
Yeah.
This is a team that is ripe for a little process.
Yeah, but you mentioned it. There might be a little too much star power to tank. Now, there were the rumors that the Raiders did want to try to get up all the way to 1 to trade with the Bears last year. Couldn't do it. But that does give a little bit of insight that they thought, geez, I mean, we signed Garoppolo, but we're definitely going to need a plan B. And instead, that never happened. Maybe got a little too rich, which I would understand. And they instead decided to go for the Band-Aid of Garoppolo and Hoyer and... Well, I guess Garoppolo's already signed. You go for the Band-Aid of Hoyer and then Aiden O'Connell in the fourth round.
Yeah. Well, listen.
Flyer.
What if you can get it might be tough. What if you can get a high second-round pick for Devontae Adams at the trade deadline?
I wonder if Devontae Adams is going to ask for a trade. Now, I've called that. I think it's going to be the Monday night game against Green Bay. That's when you're going to get the Lisa Salters, report. And down to Lisa. It's like, well, we've had some interesting tweets today from Devontae Adams. He scrubbed his social media, and now is asking for a trade. Ouch.
What if you're the Raider, what do you think you can get for him? I think it's real. I mean, I don't really know.
The first round pick for him? No.
See, they already got like a low first round pick for him for a whole season. Now he's older and it'd be halfway through the season. I don't think you can get
a first round. He's expensive.
Yeah, I don't think you'd get a first round pick. So they're not gonna do it unless it's a higher pick. Yeah, I would watch this team carefully. Do you have their schedule in front of you? Because I noticed you said Green Bay. If it starts to go real bad, maybe just selling off assets, which they don't do as much in the NFL. But
no, it's not like that. So they start at Denver, then at Buffalo, home for Pittsburgh, at the Chargers, home for Green Bay. That's the Monday night game that I was circling. That's week 5. Then they play the Patriots.
Wow, there are no breaks on the schedule at all. Oh, they're getting the number one pick. Let's go.
This is a difficult schedule. I mean, I can go through the rest. It is difficult. At Chicago, at Detroit, the Giants, the Jets, back-to-back weeks in MetLife Stadium. Excuse me, those are home. Giants and Jets at Miami, Kansas City before your bye. So, get a break. Minnesota on the way out. Chargers
Minnesota
again.
At home, okay, that's all right.
At Kansas City, at Indianapolis, and then you finish out the season against Denver.
It's spicy.
Yeah, I mean, if you're trying to tank, then you will have a great chance. You'll have a great chance. If Jimmy's not healthy... So I think that informs the backup quarterback decision. I was jokingly said Carson Wentz would be perfect. Why not just stick with Brian Hoyer? Because if you bring him Wentz and all of a sudden he's good.
Yeah, he might back you into a couple wins.
Like, yeah, then you win six games. What's the point?
Is he really, though? 855-212-4CBS.
If you have Jimmy G and Carson Wentz, I mean, who's more talented out of those two? The fact that you have to think about it, yeah. I mean, Carson Wentz has a much better arm, is more mobile, and he's just a knucklehead.
Yeah, just everyone loves Garoppolo and doesn't nobody, love yeah. Wentz. Yeah. Nobody likes Wentz.
Also, Wentz will have an ill-timed interception every important game.
Well, I mean, Garoppolo kind of throws those too.
Yeah, I think Garoppolo's a little more of a proven winner. Actually, Wentz won a Super Bowl ring. But,
well, Garoppolo technically won two, sitting behind Brady.
Yeah, Garoppolo is a winner. There is something there, and that's what they were looking at, but I think they might have really screwed this whole thing up.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. If it wasn't the Raiders who are having the worst offseason, then who is it? Because I think they pretty much take the cake.
The one team that jumps to mind.
Who else?
The Houston Texans took a gigantic risk going up from 12 to 3 for next year's pick. We could look back in 5 years and say, if that ends up being a top three pick, yeah, this will go down as the worst offseason for Houston.
Okay, but if C.J. Stroud and or Will Anderson end up becoming long-term starters, Pro Bowl players, then I don't know how you can say that, right?
Well, what if, okay, but what if they're just good and not all-time Hall of Fame players and this ends up being the Caleb Williams pick? Then that's the kind of pick you talk about in history. 10 years from now, we might be talking about how the Texans gave away Caleb Williams.
You might be, but do they really have to be Hall of Fame players for us to for that to be a bust? What if they're just productive Pro Bowl level players? What if it becomes the equivalent of like C.J. Stroud ends up becoming like Andy Dalton and
No. Because
I don't know. And Will Anderson is
because you judge everybody on
Justin
so
Houston.
Ryan Leaf would not be the biggest bust in the world unless he went right behind Peyton Manning. So if it was a bad draft, and I think that Sam Bowie obviously looks terrible because he went ahead of Michael Jordan. So if Caleb Williams is the next
like
Patrick,
Craig Oden because of Durant, right?
Right. If Caleb Williams is the next Patrick Mahomes, then people are going to talk about that trade a lot.
Yeah, it's funny though. Now you just got me thinking about busts. Not to go off on a tangent, but yes, you're right. Like it hurts Ryan that Peyton Manning became Peyton Manning. But, like, Anthony Bennett is still an all-time bust, and I don't remember who went to.
Oh, the worst draft ever. The Sixers were in that. I think that was a terrible, terrible
draft. Like, Michael Olajuwon.
I think Oladipo went, too, in that draft.
Michael Olajuwon is still a bust. I don't remember who went to.
Oh, that draft was low. Olajuwon, that's my favorite.
Who went to in that draft?
I think Bibby might have went, too, but Vince Carter, Anton Jameson, Paul Pierce, Dirk Nowitzki. Yeah.
So I guess that does matter.
That one looked bad. Olajuwon looked bad because, for some reason, Vince, Dirk and Paul Pierce all fell. Sixers took Larry Hughes that year. No big deal.
Yeah. Larry Hughes out of St. Louis.
Yeah. Great.
Larry's in like every Nelly video. Yeah. Side note.
I'm pretty good on if you look historically of stupid picks. Yeah. My teams have made a million of them.
That's your lane.
Oh, yeah. I could tell you 100 picks that the Sixers should have taken this guy and they took that guy.
Well, I mean, we could all tell you that. 855-212-4CBS, starting with Markelle Fultz over Jason Tatum. 855-212.
Low blow on a Friday night.
I'm sorry. It was right there. Okay. If not the Raiders, then who have had the worst offseason? Maybe it could be Houston. The stakes aren't as high.
No one's going to say Houston, but I think historically we're going to look back. That was a gigantic risk. I thought it was crazy. For Will Anderson?
Well, they said it wasn't Will Anderson. It was for C.J. Stroud.
No, they said it was for Will Anderson. I'm pretty sure they traded up for Will Anderson.
Well, but they wanted Stroud, but they didn't want to get the bidding war going. Like, if they had taken Will Anderson first and then C.J. Stroud second, then it would have been more of a bidding war for Stroud. It would have been more expensive.
Okay.
Right, whatever. That's just after the fact.
Ouch.
Bottom line is they may have handed the Arizona Cardinals the number one pick this year or two. 855-212-4CBS. Is that Grant Williams? This is how loud it sounded with Grant Williams from the Celtics getting slapped on the butt last night.
The energy was tremendous. We had to do our job to make sure we get it back here. That's number one goal. Take care of the next game, one game at a time. We can't look too far ahead. Ouch. And make sure that we got. We got to make sure we take this one game at a time and make sure that we just make sure we stay together.
That was so hard he lost his train of thought.
Ow.
God. That was painful to hear. I know he's a professional athlete, but that just sounds like abuse. Ow.
Ouch.
Ouch. Celtics win last night. They still trail 3-2 over the Heat. Game 6 is Saturday. We'll get more into that in just a minute. 855-212-4CBS. You want to watch the show, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio. Hit subscribe, please. And we get one step closer to destroying the Carson Wentz poster that sits behind Perloff. Don't move. More Maggie and Perloff in just moments on CBS Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's our send-up to summer, courtesy of producer Carlos today, sitting in the big chair. Before we get to our guest, Rohan Nadkarni, let's go to Steve, who's in Rochester. Because we asked the question, has anyone had a worse offseason than the Raiders right now? Steve, what do you have for us, pal?
Yeah, hey, guys. Hope you guys are doing well. I think that the Tennessee Titans have had a worse offseason than the Las Vegas Raiders. Okay. We continue to be unable to replace or stack our team full of stars that'll help us win. We're going to sit right around 500, just like we have been most of the last 5 years. Reminds me of the old Charlotte Bobcats in the NBA. We sit right about 500, might make the playoffs, not really going to do anything, not going to get a good draft pick, don't really have salary cap to go out and look out for high-level players. This year we addressed the O-line, wide receiver core just basically left untouched. Our stars are going to start aging. Derrick Henry's another year older, another year of legs gone. I think the Tennessee Titans.
Steve, can I stop you for a second? Just because you're making great points all over the place, and you're right, and appreciate it because it is an oversight on our part. I mean, Taylor Lewan gone, right? Zach Cunningham, I believe, is gone. Robert Woods is gone. I mean,
come on, what stars are aging? Robert Woods. I mean,
I'm just saying,
there's no stars to age except for Derrick Henry.
Well, okay, so I've maintained this, and I'm going to stick with it. And I think that Vrabel's a great coach. I think this is a tank team. I think that Vrabel is safe, right? Like, they just changed general managers. I don't think anyone's going anywhere. But I think that this is a tank team.
Wow.
Where they're going to, it's going to be hard in the AFC South.
It's Herculean.
They can get into the top five, get a quarterback. Derrick Henry will be gone, and then you can just start over with a new guy.
It's going to be so hard, Maggie, for them to really go after the one pick. I mean,
yeah, but this is a loaded class, so you might not have to get all the way to one. You might be able to get in the top five. You could end up getting the best of the bunch.
I think you need to be one or two, or you're all bets are off. And I don't know if Tennessee can do that. Yeah, it takes some real commitment here to tag Maggie.
You know better than anybody. Okay, let's get to our guest, Rohan Nadkarni, of course, NBA writer for Sports Illustrated, and also noted Miami Heat. Rohan, what should I say? Are you a supporter? I mean, you're a journalist, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you could say I grew up in South Florida. You know, that helps probably.
maybe that's as good as we want to get.
Could you say you're the DJ Khaled of sports media? No.
No, I would not say that. Maybe the Rick Ross, though. I'll take that one.
Okay, so Rohan, take the temperature of the Heat fan for us. How nervous is the fan base right now?
Gosh, I think there's a split. I think some people are obviously saying this is why you build a 3-0 lead, you know, because it affords you the ability to lose a couple games and not panic. But I certainly think there are a lot of people panicking right now. I'm sure deep down every Heat fan has to feel this sense of, is the ride or the wheels falling off, so to speak. The Heat have been kind of inexplicable this postseason in terms of how well they've played compared to the regular season. I think one thing everyone shares is deep down a fear that the Heat are going to revert to the team they were before the playoffs started.
Is it, you know, it's funny you say the team before the playoffs started, but I look at the team and I look at the undrafted guys and the guys who are filling in for injured guys, and I can't help but wonder, you know, are they really, is this who they are regardless of effort?
Well, I certainly think that Gabe Vincent, for example, has been shooting 50% from three in this series. Is he a 50% three-point shooter? Probably not. I think Caleb Martin, his field goal percentage has been incredibly high during this series. So in some aspects, I think these guys are playing above their heads a little bit. On the other hand, they're doing what Boston is giving them the opportunity to do. If they want to drop on Gabe Vincent in the pick and roll, he's going to be aggressive looking for a shot. Caleb Martin, they're going to defend him with the big man, give him space to shoot. He's going to shoot. So I think there's an element of, maybe you could say the percentages for some of these guys are higher than what they would be over the course of a full season, but I definitely think there's a lot of talent among that undrafted group, and I know that Eric Spoelstra is also personally getting very tired of that label being attached to that.
Rohan Nadkarni is joining us, NBA writer for Sports Illustrated. You know, we've talked about whether this is like a legacy series now, because you take a 3-0 lead and then you let another team back in, Rohan. People start talking about history being made. I mean, the pressure, where do you think it lies with who?
I mean, I think all the pressure's on Miami now in game six, because they don't want to go on the road to Boston and try to win a game seven. I know that's what the Celtics did last year, but history does not favor road teams in game sevens. If Boston's shots get going, it's typically easier to shoot at home as well. I think that's a very dangerous situation for Miami. So it's a cliche, but they have to treat this game six like their game seven. This is the best chance they're going to have to advance the NBA Finals. The pressure's on them. I'm with you, Maggie. I think if Jason Tatum is able to lead a 3-0 comeback against Jimmy Butler, the way we've been talking about Jimmy Butler the last three rounds, playoff Jimmy, we've been talking about Eric Spoelstra as one of the best coaches in the NBA. I think there's a lot to gain for the Celtics if they're able to pull off this comeback.
What do you think of Joe Mazzulla's chances? Is getting to six games enough to save his job if it was in danger, or does he have to win this series to feel really secure?
You know, I can't speculate on Joe Mazzulla anymore, because after game three, I was like, this guy's done. There's no way they're bringing him back. And now look at him. We were killing this guy just a couple games ago, and he's done a remarkable job over these last couple games, particularly Boston's defensive adjustments. There's just so much focus on the shooting in this series. I think what Boston's done, kind of shifting their attention to the paint over the last couple games, whoever pointed that out in film, you have to give Joe Mazzulla ultimately the credit for it. I don't think you can fire him now. This has been such a roller coaster series. The fact that he got his team to rebound when they were down 9 points in the third quarter of that game four, I think says a lot about this group. So I'm done speculating on Joe Mazzulla's job. He's already made a fool of me once. I don't think you can let go of him now.
Rohan, I mean, there's another question here that Perloff and I have been asking, which is, does it matter? And by that, I mean, are the Nuggets just going to slaughter whatever yeah. team ends up advancing out of the East anyway?
I'm very high on the Nuggets, absolutely. I picked them to win the finals before the season started. I picked them to win the finals in the middle of the season. I would certainly pick them against any team in the East. I'll say this. I do think the Nuggets would probably match up better with Miami as opposed to Boston. Boston's shooting, their defensive potential, at least when they're playing up to it, they just have a much higher ceiling as a group than the Heat. So if I'm a Nuggets fan, I'm rooting for the Heat to end this series because I think it's a better matchup. But I do think Denver rightfully will be favored no matter who they face.
So one more question about the Celtics. If they do lose this, you know, I think people have given up on the chance. Everyone seems to think they're going to win this. But regardless, any chance that they move on from Jaylen Brown or split up Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, or try to reshape the team radically if they don't advance?
I do think they have to look into some upgrades one way or another, especially the front court. Al Horford has been a little inconsistent in these playoffs. He's getting up there in age. They signed him to an extension before the summer, but they will have trade pieces, or at least guys with contracts that are movable in the offseason. Marcus Smart, Robert Williams among them. Grant Williams is a restricted free agent, which could create some opportunities for both sides there. I don't think Boston needs a dramatic overhaul. I know it's very in vogue to talk about splitting up Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and Jaylen Brown, who qualified for an All-NBA Supermax contract, is going to get paid this summer. At the end of the day, the Celtics have been in the conference finals 3 out of the last 4 years, I believe 5 out of the last 7. You can't ask for much more sustained success than that if you're an NBA franchise. They've had a lot of bites at the apple, so to speak. I don't know why you would break that up or what moves you could make that could theoretically give you a better chance. They might not be the number one championship contender year in, year out, but the fact that they have a chance to win every year and the window should extend for many years to come, I wouldn't mess with that personally.
Rohan, last question for me. Rohan Nadkarni from Sports Illustrated joining us. Last question for me, and Stan Van Gundy pointed it out, and quite frankly, I don't think Stan really should have been the one to point it out, but he was right. And it's about Tyler Hero's outfits. Now, we kind of rely on Rohan to not just, like, talk to us about the NBA, but also pop culture. We talked about the drink for the summer is the vermouth and the Spindrift. You know, he helps us out. Those clothes are ridiculous. I mean, he doesn't even look comfortable in the clothes. He doesn't wear them well. Why? This is not a Russell Westbrook thing where it's like, all right, they're weird clothes, but, you know, he's kind of pulling it off. He's not pulling off any of these outfits.
Listen, Maggie, as Miami Heat great Dwayne Wade once said, fashion is confidence, okay? And Tyler Hero doesn't lack it. Whether the outfits are ugly, whether they're beautiful, I guess ultimately it's not for you, I, or Stan Van Gundy to judge. I'll say this. It definitely takes confidence to wear what he's been wearing to some of these games.
He really looks like he's playing dress up out there. He doesn't look confident at all. He looks like someone double dared him to wear it.
At the end of the day, we're talking about a guy who hasn't played a minute this entire season. Every single game, he's getting like a Stan Van Gundy monologue every single game. So whatever he's doing, it's working. I think this is a case of any publicity is good publicity.
All right, I want to give you a hard one. Just one more hard one. Yeah, and Maggie, you can answer
this
too.
Please, give me your best shot.
Who is most likely to win a title out of these three players? LeBron James, Kevin Durant, or Steph Curry? Who of the old dudes, who's coming back? Who's going to get the ring, or is the answer none?
Rohan, you want to go first?
That's the question. So are you saying I have to? Who has the best chance?
Yeah, actually, no. Which one of those guys do you think has a chance to win the title?
Yeah, the best chance.
Yeah, I guess the best chance.
I'm going to say Kevin Durant, if only because I think we saw Devin Booker go to another level this postseason. And out of all the running mates those three players have, whether it's Stephen Clay, LeBron and AD, KD and Booker, I think I like Devin Booker the most as the second guy because there were arguments to be made he was the best player on the Suns this year. And if you think about it, the Suns took 2 games off the Nuggets, and that was without Chris Paul. The Lakers didn't take any games off of Denver. So I think I'm going to go with the Suns, although they need some serious they need to make some serious moves this summer, retool that roster around their 2 stars. But I think KD and Book, out of those 3 guys, that's the best duo among the group.
My first thought was Steph. I know Clay and Draymond, and there's a lot to figure out there, the Jordan Poole situation. But, I mean, they were coming off the title this year. A lot went on. They didn't seem like when they are actually all pulling the rope in the right direction together, when the vibes are good.
Yeah.
I mean, they actually do have these young guys. If any, say 2 out of these young guys end up working out, say Kuminga and Moody end up becoming these, you know, really good players. They were lottery picks, right? So I think it's probably the Warriors. Who do you think, Perloff?
Well, how are you going to stop LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Kyrie Irving? No, I'm just saying that for devil's advocate. Yeah. I want someone to say LeBron.
It could be LeBron.
You know, I was wondering, is LeBron's foot, does that rule him out of this conversation? Is there so much unknown there?
I mean, he just dropped 40-10-9 on the bad foot, and that was without letting it heal properly or getting the surgery he requires. So I don't think you can rule him out. I also say, to Maggie's point, I think Steph's still the best individual player left among those three. Mm-hmm. And the Warriors, if they're committed to building the right team around him, can certainly pull it off. But, I mean, they don't know if their general manager's coming back. Those young players that Maggie mentioned, Jonathan Kuminga, didn't get to play in the playoffs by the end of it, seems unhappy with his role. They seem to be a little bit on thin ice right now in terms of bringing that core back together. What I think is interesting for a while is you failed to mention Joel Embiid in this conversation. It sounds like we're just giving up on his title.
ship sailed on Embiid for Perloff and all of Philadelphia.
I actually told Maggie earlier today, off air, out of nowhere, angrily said, Daryl Morey is never winning a title in this league. Go on.
He did. These are just the random things that get like kind of thrown around in the office.
I don't see the path for the Sixers. Am I wrong?
Listen, it's going to be tricky. If I were them, I would not be jazzed about giving James Harden a huge contract. At the same time, letting him walk for nothing is not an easy pill to swallow either. So it's going to be a little bit of an uphill climb for them.
Oh,
for
how
sure.
about Embiid
Can't
winning?
Bring back Harden.
How about
Cannot.
Embiid winning one in Miami, maybe something like that.
Oh, Embiid going to Miami?
Yeah,
I could see that.
I do think Jimmy Butler would love to play with Joel Embiid again, and I'm sure Joel Embiid feels the same way. I want to know, by the way, guys, when you're going to have me on to talk about Tua and how he continues to get disrespected by the media. I just needed to get that out there.
We're gonna do that. That's later this summer. We already have it on the calendar. Perfect. We just forgot to tell you.
Rohan, you're pulling. Kevin Harlan has talked more about Tua during the Eastern Conference Finals. Why does he keep doing that? What is Tua just on everyone's mind in Miami?
It's because Kevin Harlan recognizes greatness. When
he sees it. Game recognized game. Who did he call a right-handed Tua? And I was like, that didn't make sense at all. But I love Harlan though. I love him. This is not a critique.
I'm here for any and all Tua references.
Okay. So Rohan, you know, I deal with a diehard Bills fan on a daily basis. Am I going to have to hear about the Dolphins every week too? Because I'm down for that. I could, and then I'm hearing all about the Jets here in New York. It's obnoxious. I'm down with some Dolphins hype. I'm into it.
Listen, there we go. They have the most exciting quarterback, the most exciting coach, the most exciting defensive coordinator, most exciting wide receiver in the league. I don't know why they're not already a topic of conversation.
Man, that's
every day.
That's a real stretch there with Vic Fangio. But nice job.
I just thought of
There you go.
A bidding war for Vic Fangio. Okay, that's all I can say.
Rohan, thank you so much. Enjoy game 6 between the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics, and then we'll see who gets the right to be slaughtered by the Nuggets. Thanks, Rohan.
Sounds good, guys. Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Listen, if the Miami Dolphins are if the Miami Dolphins are on the schedule, the first thing I say is, wow, Vic's coming to town. Buy your tickets. Vic Fangio, the most exciting defensive coordinator. Gosh.
The bidding war over Vic Fangio.
You AFC East fans are all delusional.
Yeah, like the NFC East fans are not delusional.
Fair point.
You guys are nuts. 855-212-4-CBS. Okay, got a lot more to do, including later on in the show, the advice duck will be back. Carlos just put two hands up in celebration. Yes. Like he just won the gold. Get your questions in now.
Get them in before Memorial Day, people. It's your last chance to get duck advice.
If you need any advice from the duck, you can hit us up at Maggie and Pearl on Twitter. Use the hashtag advice duck. You can hit us in the chat, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio, #advice duck. You can also send us an email, maggieandperloff@gmail.com. And that's where you can get the advice. Emmanuel, you got any questions for the advice duck? Go ahead.
Think about it.
Yeah. I know there's a lot swimming around in your head. I can help you. The duck can help you, rather. Coming up, bizarre story. Crazy twists and turns. You're not going to believe how funny/stupid this one is. We'll get to that after this CBS Sports update with Emmanuel.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Getting you ready for summer here. Memorial Day weekend kickoff. Carlos has got your summer jams. Returning us back from break, it is Maggie and Perloff. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Okay, so First, it's time. Got to ask the pros. I will not forget about that this time. Where you guys can ask us a question. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Okay, couldn't forget that, but I'm dying to get to our next story because as OTAs are going on in the NFL, two people taking the podium today, Russell Wilson and Sean Payton. You might have heard of them. So Russell Wilson was asked about working with Sean Payton for the first time, and here's what he said.
I think Sean's one of the best coaches to ever coach this game. He's intense. He's focused. He's such a great teacher of the game. And so all of us are learning every day, you know, more information, you know, just learning how to play the game the right way, how to practice at the highest level. And that's what we're focused on right now. And, you know, it's an honor to obviously, you know, put on the pads and put on the jersey and just get to do what I love to do.
Okay, so that was Russell Wilson. Some pretty classic Russell Wilson speak.
Yeah.
As for Sean Payton getting to work with Russell Wilson, first impressions, here they are.
These guys are doing well. He's picking it up. You know, the timing and all of those things that required, you know, for the first 5 weeks, we were just lifting and running. And so now we're getting into some football activity. And, you know, these guys, you know, we're ahead of schedule on the practice. But yeah, he's picking it up good, looks sharp.
Okay. I mean, I would expect someone who's been in the NFL for a decade maybe to pick it up pretty fast.
Yeah.
But
yeah, you're right. That's what you say about a second-year quarterback,
yeah, kinda.
Not a 35-year-old quarterback.
Careful, though. It is Russell Wilson.
The thing about it is, listen, Sean Payton can be kind of tough.
Yeah, I know.
So this better start off okay. Otherwise, I think it's going to be a disaster. Last year's Russell Wilson's 2022 season was one of the biggest disasters I've ever seen. Because every eyeball, they were on primetime every single game. They were probably the story coming into the season. And, you know, like kind of like Aaron Rodgers is with the Jets, probably not quite as big as Aaron Rodgers, but he was such a failure. I think to the point where people said last year he just ruined his Hall of Fame career. And if it happens again with Sean Payton as your coach, then he's really ruining his Hall of Fame career. Because I still think he's a Hall of Famer without a doubt in my mind. But, I mean, come on. This will be really bad for his legacy.
Let's rock.
I agree with you. Now, here's the thing. Not the same kind of pressure that some of the other guys are facing in the NFL for a couple reasons. He has already won. He went to another Super Bowl. Obviously, that was a disaster with Malcolm Butler at the goal line. But he has had some sustained success. And I do think he's going to the Hall of Fame, and he's made more money than anyone. I mean, yeah. He is a gajillionaire.
Those are all the reasons he has so much pressure. The expectations are so high. He thinks he's one of the faces of the NFL, so he has to live up to that.
I don't know if he is anymore. I mean, he's really
going to
need... Well, he thinks he is. He's
Unlimited.
Of course, Mr. Unlimited. He's really going to need to have a big comeback. This can't just be like a mediocre season here.
Well,
I think it's got to be like good. And we don't talk about the Broncos as a playoff team at all when we talk about the AFC.
I think if he was okay, that would be a big step up from last year. That would save. I mean, last year was sub-mediocre, right? And he was hurt. He lost some weight. He looked great in practice. He's got the ultimate offensive coach. It should be good. It's a tough conference, tough division. But I think there's so much pressure on him to play well, honestly, because I think Russell Wilson really takes his stuff deeply. I think he's really concerned about his image. See,
definitely.
You think Josh Allen's under the most pressure, but Josh Allen's 27. It's different. He has a big chunk of the prime of his career ahead of him. Russell Wilson does not.
No,
it's
I know.
Now
but,
or never.
But Russell Wilson can look behind him and say, look at all the things I've accomplished.
That I think that just adds to the pressure. Once these guys get up to that level, I don't think they look backwards and say, I accomplished this. I think he says...
Well, not now, but eventually, like, he's going to be able to look back and say, look, I got a ring.
I think right now he's under intense pressure. Also, I mean, he didn't need to do anything for that ring. He just needed to show up to the stadium and the Seahawks defense won it for him.
I know. The Broncos really no-showed that day.
I think we generally have a philosophical difference on what quarterbacks feel pressure. Because I think these guys who have been around for a while, they're feeling it pretty bad. I think the older guys feel it.
I think you can always, like, once you get one in your back pocket, like Russell Wilson has one, Aaron Rodgers has one.
Oof,
I think once
guy.
You get one in your back pocket, I think that it's different. not only you have that, you also have the money. Like, it's not the same as guys who are still looking for one or the other. Like, Russ, he doesn't have an MVP vote to his name. I mean, that's another thing, right, that he always wanted.
Right.
But, I mean, as you said, he's probably going to be a Hall of Famer anyway. That's not the same kind of pressure as Josh Allen, who could be, you know, he might have no legacy if he doesn't win a Super Bowl.
I just also, I don't think the younger players feel the pressure like the older players do.
Well, because everyone thinks they're immortal, right?
Yeah, you think you're young in golf, a totally separate sport. But the 20-somethings are better putters because they don't feel any pressure because they're not thinking, oh, this is my one chance to win a title. I don't think Josh Allen's just going out there and playing ball to some extent. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not inside his head. Russell Wilson, like, he better succeed quickly or it's going to go real bad.
You know, I think it is funny, though. We talk about the AFC and how loaded it is. And because of how badly it went last year, we're not really talking about the Broncos. And, you know, it's weird because Sean Payton is there. I think you hit it on the head what you said before. Personality-wise, now that might not get in the way, but it's like, are you going to do this thing the easy way or the hard way? Because I could see them butting heads and it not going very smoothly, or somehow they clicked and connect. But from, like, little bits of sound bites, I know that's just sound bites, but it still feels like a feeling out process. And yeah. Remember even the Sean Payton hiring process, how wonky that got.
Well, I don't think
they'll. He was the front runner. He wasn't. Yeah.
They won't butt head. I think Russell Wilson, if he was going to butt heads, would be more passive aggressive. I can't picture Russell Wilson saying anything directly to Sean Payton. Payton would be more aggressive.
Yeah, right.
He's supposed to be pretty aggressive in practice and stuff. I think he'll treat Russell Wilson a little differently because Russ, you heard that quote. He's such a politician.
Yeah.
I think he'll go back and don't you get the sense? I think we do agree on this. Payton is not sure about Russell Wilson yet, and I think he'd be willing to move on after this year if it's not good.
Okay, well, I wasn't sure if the ownership group actually believes in Payton. I don't know who believes in Russell Wilson. I mean, there's a whole scenario here where this thing kind of implodes. Or it goes great. Maybe in a, you know, the fire, you know, lights up the whole house, or it burns it to the ground.
Well, they're at 8.5 wins, Vegas team total. So, I think that's sort of a coin toss whether they make the playoffs. They're right. I don't know. I'm not sure in this conference. Can they be 9-8 and make the playoffs, a wild card? And is that good enough?
Yes, definitely. You're in a division with Patrick Mahomes. Wild card is what you're playing for.
No, I know, but is a 9-8 wild card in the 7th seed and gets slaughtered by the number 2 seed? I don't think that feels so good.
Well, I don't know if they're getting slaughtered. See, that's the thing. Like Sean Payton in a playoff game.
I mean, has a 9-8 playoff team done anything yet? Since they've gone to 17 games, not really. Most of these, the Eagles were 9-8, got into the playoffs and lost like 38-0 in the first round.
Or well, something. What was the Jags record?
The yeah. Jags won.
They overcame a 27-0 deficit. And they won.
Yeah, they beat the Chargers.
Well,
whoop-de-doo.
You're asking for examples.
I don't know. But 9-8 and sneaking into the wild card, that doesn't feel like a huge victory for Sean Payton and Russell Wilson, two Hall of Famers.
I got it.
There's some pressure, Maggie. There is pressure there.
There definitely is.
Four primetime games, too, so far. I mean, it's not like they're disappearing. People are still making that terrible mistake of putting Wilson in the primetime. Almost ruined our year.
It really did. I remember Nathaniel Hackett almost ruined our year.
Yeah, a text you sent me when the Broncos were playing the Colts. It was Matt Ryan, and you were like, they must flex the Broncos out of every primetime game.
For the love of Al Michaels, get him out of here. I mean, Al couldn't take it. He and Herb Street were dying out there.
Yeah, they had to actually change the rules around flexing Thursday night games. That's mostly Russell Wilson's fault.
I was going to say, they should name that after Hackett. It's the Hackett rule. And now look at Hackett. Now he's here with Aaron Rodgers in New York. Rodgers is praising him every second, every microphone he talks into.
Yeah. Well, it is Hackett. It's also Russ was not very good at some of those games.
No, it turned out he had broken thumb, right?
Oh, yeah.
Everything.
And he had a hammy.
Remember the golf cart accident that he allegedly got into a couple weeks ago? Whatever happened with that? Apparently everyone's okay. Okay, good. YouTube.com/CBS Sports Radio. That's where we need your help. First, you can watch the show for sure. But if you hit subscribe, that's all you have to do. You hit subscribe. It gets us one step closer to destroying the Carson Wentz poster that is behind Perloff. Also, we've been donating to charity in all the cities that Carson Wentz has played in as a way to balance out the karma. So all you do is subscribe. We take care of the rest, and it's fun for all. All right. Coming up next, the one thing that Perloff and I do not agree on about the upcoming NFL season. We'll get to that in just a minute. Don't move. More Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.